Trevor is a UBC student. He moves to Vancouver from his small community. And on his very first day on campus, he walks into his very first class, first year English. And in that one class, there are more people than in his entire high school back home. Trevor's overwhelmed, and yet he finds that his fellow students are friendly, they're courteous. They help him find his way to his next class. His landlord gives him pointers about the bus schedules and the nearby coffee shops and grocery stores. He attends a local church, and people say hi to him. They remember his name from week to week. And yet, what Trevor finds is after being in this city for several months, he is feeling increasingly isolated. Why? Because those moments of helpfulness and courtesy and friendliness never seem to go anywhere. It never goes beyond that basic helpfulness and saying hi. He wonders why he can't make any friends in this new city. Trevor considers dropping out and moving home, but he wonders, will anyone even notice that I'm gone? Luke and Priscilla have been married for 8 years, and unlike her first husband, Luke is a solid person, solid character, a good provider. And on the surface, this couple seems to have it all together. They attend church each week with their two daughters. They entertain guests in their home regularly. And yet the truth is that Luke and Priscilla have very little meaningful personal conversation in their marriage. They have very few interests, shared interests that they participate in together. And most nights, while Luke is sleeping, Priscilla hears the sound of her husband's deep breathing and wonders, how can I be married to someone and yet feel so distant, so alone, almost like he's a distant roommate? Priscilla thought that getting married would alleviate her feelings of loneliness, and yet it's only intensified them. Jeremy is a young professional who lives in the city. And if you look on Jeremy's Facebook account or on his Instagram, he's got thousands of friends. Every weekend, he is hiking or boating or golfing. He is active, and he always seems to be the life of the party. He's very socially active, and yet when he goes home and he turns off the computer, he unplugs from Facebook and Instagram, he turns off the music, and he is just alone in his condo. He feels the sting of isolation. He feels that no one really knows him. Yes, he has acquaintances, people who know him at a very surface level, but nobody really knows him or gets him. Well, what links these stories together? Well, it's a problem that we all encounter, an emotion that we all encounter, loneliness. We're no strangers to loneliness. At various times in our lives, we also experience loneliness. Some of the most well-known, prominent people have commented on loneliness. In fact, former Prime Minister of Canada, Kim Campbell, once said that at the very height of her political powers, as Prime Minister, with all these advisors around her, with people around her all the time, she said what surprised her most was an unspeakable loneliness that went with this job. 18-year-old up-and-comer Winona Ryder describes how, as she was emerging in her career, one night she could not sleep, and so she drove around town. And interestingly enough, she saw through a window a cover of Rolling Stone magazine, and she was on the cover. And she said, "Never have I felt so lonely in my life as that moment. I was supposed to be the up-and-comer. I was supposed to be popular. I was supposed to be connected, and yet a profound loneliness." Well, this morning we are continuing our series through the book of Psalms, through the Psalter, the Psalms. And We've called this series Honest to God because we've been reminded that the Psalms invite us to come and to pray what we feel, not what we should feel, not what we think we should pray, but to pray the very emotion that is on our heart. And today we look at a psalm from David, Psalm 139, which is about loneliness. Now, this psalm is not written from the depths of David's loneliness, but it's written to David's loneliness. It's a psalm that speaks not out of loneliness, but to our loneliness. And it's here we hear some affirmations that we are reminded of as we pray. If you have your Bibles, let me invite you to turn to Psalm 139, and we'll see what the psalmist invites us to pray. Psalm 139, it's also on the screen. And today we're going to read sections of this and then pause to comment. Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. And before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Let's pray together. So, Lord, we come this morning as real people. We come not as ideal people. We come sometimes feeling distant from you, sometimes feeling disconnected from you, disconnected from people, even people close to us. And so, Lord, we come with our real emotion, and we come to you, and we want to pray this psalm with David. We want to discover how you are revealing yourself to us in the midst of the real life emotion of loneliness. So help us, we pray. Connect this prayer with our hearts and our lives. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, the first thing that we discover in Psalm 139 in the midst of our loneliness is this, that God knows me. He knows me. The psalmist said it, you have searched me and you know me. And I want to suggest to you that this knowing that God has of you is not a cold, impersonal, detached knowing. Notice that the psalm does not say, God, you know me because, well, you're God and you know everything, so duh, you know me. That's not what the psalmist prays. The psalmist prays, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. As Eugene Peterson puts it, you have investigated me. You have followed me. You have pursued me, and you know me. This is a deep, a rich, a personal kind of knowledge. Think about when you have wanted to know somebody, pursue them, perhaps in a romantic relationship, you're interested in them. What's the first thing that you do? You go on Facebook and you Facebook stalk them, don't you? You look through all their pictures. You try to discover what they like, who they hang out with, what their interests are. You learn information about them, but that's not enough. You see if you can arrange some time of group connection or a coffee meeting or some kind of date where you can find out what really makes this person tick. What excites them? What brings them joy? What motivates them? What gets them down? And here is what the psalmist says, in the midst of our loneliness, in the midst of feelings that we might say, nobody really gets me. Nobody knows me. The psalmist says, God, you've searched me. You've investigated me. You have pursued me, and you know me. He goes on and says, you know when I sit and when I rise. God knows all of our activities of our day. But it goes beyond that, because he says, God, you perceive my thoughts from afar, that he knows what our deepest emotions and thoughts are. See, as human beings, we get to look at the surface. We get to know certain things about the outward expressions of people, but we can't see the inside. And yet the psalmist says, God knows what's on the inside. And not only that, but God loves you and embraces you. The reason that we are not known sometimes is because we're all good at hiding. We are afraid that if somebody really knew who we were, we're afraid that if somebody knew our deepest thoughts, we're afraid that if somebody knew what we were thinking in our moments of anger, in our moments of temptation, we're afraid that people would not want to be with us. John Powell wrote this powerful book that I read when I was a university student. It's called simply, Why Am I Afraid to Tell You Who I Am? And he concludes, you don't even need to read the book. I'll give you the summary right here, okay? Save you a lot of time. He says, I'm afraid to tell you who I am, because if I tell you who I am, you might not like who I am, and it's all that I have. We're afraid to reveal who we are because we're afraid of being rejected. And yet the psalmist says that in the midst of our loneliness, God knows everything about us, every thought, every motivation, every temptation, every emotion, and he does not send us away. He does not banish us, but he embraces us. He accepts us and loves us. The psalmist goes on to say that before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. I was thinking about this this week. Perhaps if you have a roommate that you've lived with for a long time, a friend that you've known for a long time, did you know that you can often actually anticipate what they're thinking? For example, my wife Brandy and I have been married 20 years. We celebrate our 20th anniversary this year. So I feel like we know each other. We know what each other is thinking. Not all the time, but often. So this week, I was thinking about a common, maybe a trivial example. I'm at the grocery store, okay, and I'm walking down the aisle, and on the list it says toilet paper. And there's two options before me. Go here with me, okay? There's the no-name option. The no-name option. And what attracts me to the no-name option? The price. The price of the no-name toilet paper. Because saving money is one of my love languages, and I look at the price of that, and I'm tempted. Now, on the other side, just beside it, is the Charmin extra pillowy, thick and soft, White Cloud toilet paper. I mean, the Queen of England uses this stuff, okay? It is about twice the price. And so what I do is I go and reach for the no-name toilet paper. And as I'm reaching for it, I hear a voice in my head. It is the voice of my wife. It's not a literal voice, but I know what she's going to say. I know that she's going to say something like, are you serious? You bought no-name, have you ever tried that stuff? It's like cardboard. Don't use that stuff. Never buy that stuff again. I know what she's thinking. And I got to tell you, sometimes I get this wrong. Sometimes we'll have a conversation and she's sharing with me something. And I say to myself, I know what she's thinking. And I finish her sentences. And I'm wrong. Because it's not what she's thinking. And she feels first interrupted, and she feels second misunderstood. Even after being together for 20 years, I get it wrong. I don't know everything that she's thinking. And yet the psalmist says, God knows everything that's on your heart, everything that's on your mind. He gets you, and he knows you, and he loves you. Second, let's move on and find out what else this psalmist tells us, this prayer. Verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. So the first thing we discovered in this psalm is the simple truth that he knows me. Why can we pray this? Because God knows me. But second, we learn in verses 7 to 12 that he is with me. Maybe that's a very simple sounding statement, because obviously when you're alone, you feel that there is, you're disconnected from God. And yet the truth of this psalm as we pray it is that he is with me. Listen to how the psalmist goes through this. He says, where can I go? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Commentators tell us that that phrase, make my bed in the depths, is actually referring to death. Maybe the ultimate loneliness of all, where we are totally alone, and the psalmist says, on this side of life, you're with me. And even in death, God, you are with me. Death cannot separate you from my presence. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, in other words, if I go east as far as I can go east, you're there. If I settle on the far side of the sea, which from where David was writing this would have been west, if I go east or west, you're with me. Even there, your hand holds me. The psalmist is inviting us that in the midst of our loneliness, we turn to God. We lean into that loneliness and we turn to God, because you and I know that there are many options when it comes to our loneliness. We can turn to many other things to try to soothe that loneliness. Richard Rohr says that spirituality is what you do with your pain. So the question is, when you're lonely, where do you turn for comfort? Where do you turn to soothe your pain? Did you know that shopping is closely related to feelings of loneliness often? Did you know that Facebook and Instagram, and I'm not against social media at all, but we can turn to those things as a way to try to soothe our loneliness. We can turn to unhealthy or illicit relationships or sexual encounters to try to fill our loneliness. We can turn to work and we can say, well, maybe we're lonely, but at least we're going to be productive. And we can try to lose ourselves in our work, but none of these things actually satisfy. None of these things deeply speak to our loneliness. And the psalmist reminds us of this truth. Not only is God knows you, but God is with you at every moment. And I love this phrase right here. It says, verse 10, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. I was reading this week. I was thinking about, you know, the P&E is on in our city. I don't know how many of you got to go to the P&E this year? All right. I had this flashback as I was reading this passage to being at the exhibition at the fair when I was a kid. And maybe 4 or 5 years old, and we would go to the fair, hundreds of people everywhere, people all around. And so my dad would take me by the hand, his usually right hand and my left hand. And he would have this grip on me as we walked through the crowds. His right hand was always there guiding me, holding me. And I'm going to be honest with you, because when I was 4 years old, sometimes I longed to be free of my dad. I wanted to just run free throughout the, you know, the exhibition grounds and explore as I'd like. But my dad, of course, knew that if he let me as a four-year-old go, I would be lost. I'd get lost. And as I was thinking about this week, I was reminded that, you know what? The psalmist is saying, God is never going to lose you. You can't lose God. Even at times where you try to get away from God's presence, and let's face it, there's a part of us that always wants to run away from God, and there's a part of us that wants to run to God. And the psalmist reminds us, wherever I go, God, you are with me. Your hand is there holding and guiding me. Even when I try to break free, I cannot, because God, you won't allow me to get lost. One writer said, there is no freedom from God. There's only freedom in God. There is no refuge from God. There is only refuge in him. And as David prays this psalm, as we pray this psalm, we're reminded that God is never going to lose us. We are never going to lose God. His presence is there always with us. Why do we feel lonely? Well, there's a spiritual reason. It's sin. The Bible says that all of us have been infected with this virus called sin, and one of the symptoms is separation. We experience separation from God and separation from others. And yet we are reminded on this Sunday, in a few moments we're going to come to the communion table, we are reminded that at the cross, Jesus did something about our separation. He eliminated it. He took on the judgment for our sin, the separation from God, so that we never have to be separated. We may feel lonely, but because of Jesus, we're never truly alone. Well, there's one more section of this psalm that we're going to read, and it's found starting in verse 13. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. This psalm reminds us that he knows me. Second, that he is with me. And I think third, what we've just read reminds us, in the midst of our loneliness, that God has made me and has a plan for me. God has a purpose for my life. Why do we talk about this in the midst of loneliness? It's because loneliness zaps our passion for life. Loneliness, once it kind of gathers some momentum and picks up speed, says, nobody, what I'm doing doesn't make a difference. My presence here in this community, in this church, on this earth, doesn't really matter. And yet, the truth of the psalm is that God has ordained for me every day of my life. Think about that for a moment. God has orchestrated, he has planned the very events of your day. There is purpose to your life. And though we may not feel it, we may not wake up every morning and go, thank you, Jesus, I have a purpose, and it's crystal clear to me. We're reminded to come back to the psalm and the God who says, I have made you, and I have made you with a purpose. And I am inviting you to live out this purpose. This week I came across a statistic that said only 13% of workers find their work meaningful. 21% of people feel their, only 21% feel that their jobs make use of their talents. Friends, I wonder if you're here this morning and you resonate with feelings of loneliness. That often when you're at home, you're alone, you feel a powerful sense of isolation and being alone. I wonder if that could be a clue to how God might be calling you, to what his purpose for you might be. Could it be that your loneliness, your awareness of that loneliness, helps you to connect with others who are lonely? That it brings healing to you, but it also brings healing to them. You know, Daniel Meyer, in his book, Witness Essentials, tells the story of an elderly woman who is struggling and wrestling with this idea. What is God's plan and purpose for me? Is there a plan? Is there a purpose? And though he doesn't talk about it in his book, we know that many who are elderly feel like they're invisible. They wrestle with things like loneliness. And one day this woman is contemplating this, and she has this idea. She wonders if her very loneliness might be a key to what her ministry, what her service might be to others. So she does this kind of crazy idea. She takes a stack of 3x5 cards, and she writes on the top of it, "Are you homesick? Come by my house for tea, 4 o'clock Thursday." And she puts her phone number. And she walks around campus, a major university campus, and on 3x5 handwritten cards begins to pin these on poster boards. And it's a little slow at first, but in time, student after student after student begins calling this woman a perfect stranger and begins coming over for tea and conversation. And a number of years later, when she passed away, 80 honorary pallbearers were at her funeral. 80 university students who felt homesick, who felt lost, who felt overwhelmed, and yet 80 students were touched because this woman, in her loneliness, wondered if God might use it to connect her with others. 80 students. Could it be that in our very loneliness, that God is giving us a clue to how we might connect with others? We might uncover the very purpose God has for us here and now. Well, let me conclude by asking the question, okay, Psalm 139. So I pray this psalm, and I'm not going to feel lonely anymore. Is that what you're saying? Well, the answer is no. It's not a quick fix. But Psalm 139 reminds us that loneliness is not a problem to be solved. Loneliness can actually draw us to God. Loneliness and our inability to sometimes connect with others and feel understood, our loneliness can be the thirst that drives us to God Himself. Henry Nouwen, a well-known, profound spiritual writer of our time, someone who's influenced me greatly, said this. He said that every human being has a kind of grand canyon within them, a kind of chasm, a wound, a hole. And it's something not to be seen as a blemish, but something that is beautiful. I suppose that somebody could look at the Grand Canyon and say, that needs to be filled in. That's a problem. There's a chasm there that needs to be filled in. And Henry Nouwen reminds us loneliness, the hole in our souls, is actually something to be cherished and protected and celebrated. Why? Because loneliness reminds us that we are made for God. And it actually draws us to the living God. And Nouwen goes on to say there's two types of loneliness. One loneliness is when we're out of touch with God. We're anxiously looking for someone or something to fill us, to give us a sense of home, of belonging, of intimacy. And so we try to put people in there, and we try to put our job in there, and we try to put all these different things in there, and it never satisfies. But Nouwen says the truth is that there's a second kind of loneliness. It is a longing that we feel for God Himself. And the Christian way, he writes, does not take away our loneliness. It protects it and cherishes it as a gift. Because it's this second loneliness, this grand canyon in our souls that keeps us time and time again turning to the living God. That says, God, more than anything, I need you and I want you in my life. So friends, as we pray Psalm 139 in the midst of our loneliness, may we be brought time and time again to the only one that can begin to fill it, the only one who can understand it, the living God. Let's pray together. Let me invite you, just in the quietness of this moment, to respond to what you may feel that the Lord is stirring in your heart. as we look at our loneliness not as a problem to be solved, but as something which draws us to God, how are you being drawn to God this morning? Can you take a moment just to speak to the Lord about that? To confess your own feelings and maybe the longing, the stirring that you feel to know more of God this morning. Take a moment to talk to the Lord about that. God, thank you that you have searched us and you know us. You have searched and pursued and investigated. You have pursued us and you know us. Lord, this morning we open our hearts to you, maybe in a greater way than ever before. We come to you in our loneliness, in our feelings of being isolated. We are drawn to you, living God. Come and meet us in this place. Meet us in the midst of our Grand Canyon. Lord, this week, as we are going about our business, going to school and working in our communities, volunteering, we're at enjoying leisure time. Lord, when we feel those pangs of loneliness, may we be drawn to you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.